Welcome back. My guest is Marty Fish, professional tennis player, hard court specialist, six-time winner on tour, and his highest ranking was seventh in the world, and current Davis Cup captain for Team USA. Marty, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me in.
Now, I know you're playing in the American Century Championship coming up in July, and it's a great event. A lot of different celebrities like yourself vying in the pressure-packed world of golf. And so I understand you've come in second three times at the American Century Championship?
I have too many times to count, to be honest. And no, it's a really, really fun week. Probably one of the most fun weeks outside of sort of work, and you mentioned the Davis Cup. That's a dream job of mine, the Davis Cup captain. So outside of that kind of stuff, certainly the best week of the year, one of the best weeks of the year to look forward to going and meeting everyone and seeing everyone, not really meeting everyone anymore because I'm such a big sports fan. So initially, when you go, your worlds would never collide with the Steph Currys and the Aaron Rodgers sort of over time. And so, getting to go and again, being such a big sports fan, it's fun to meet and then become friends with those guys and play a lot of golf together and over the years. And so it's truly a blast.
Well, I know Mark Mulder won two or three straight years. Then Tony Romo mm-hmm. kind of took over. He's the two-time defending champion. So how are you coming in second to these guys? Marty, come on.
They're really good players. They're really good golfers, first of all. If we want to get down into the details of it, I am a lefty, and I play a right-to-left cut. With almost every shot, every single hole at Edgewood, which is a beautiful course, is right to left. Almost the exact opposite way. So for me, the course doesn't set up incredibly well, which is fine. But that's one sort of deep end reason why I haven't played my best there. And then those guys are really good. You know, Tony plays a ton of golf. He works on his game. I think he's at least trying to make the move to play some more professional events. And John Smoltz is one who's played some professional events as well on the PGA and the Champions Tour for him. And Mark Mulder has also gotten a sponsor's exemption into a PGA event. So, I mean, these guys are, and they hold their own. They're not, they're not making the cut, but they're not finishing last. So they're good players to try and beat and over 3 days. Hopefully this is the year.
So have you been playing golf for a long time?
I have, yeah. I've played basically my whole life, tennis mm-hmm. and golf, both since I can remember, maybe 2 years old or 3 years old. So something that I sort of learned growing up and just played a bunch, never taken a lesson or anything like that. So I sort of know why and what my swing does and stuff and why I miss certain things and can sort of correct it. So I don't have many things in my head. It sort of allows me, because I don't play a ton. I probably play maybe 30 rounds a year, and so it sort of helps me not have very many things in my head, and then thus be able to take significant amounts of time off and still come back and be able to play okay. So I just started playing and training, if you will, for Tahoe. A couple weeks out to try and get it going.
Well, I know Jack Nicklaus has been very complimentary about your game. Didn't he say that you are the best golfer he has ever seen who is not a professional golfer?
Non-professional, yeah. That was a pretty fun round of golf that I played with him. And I think in nine holes I made six birdies or something like that. Or maybe an eagle and four birdies. I think
oh,
I shot
goodness.
30 or 29 maybe or something with him. So it's certainly one of the best stretches of golf I've ever played with the greatest player of all time. So it was pretty fun, pretty good time to do that as well.
Was there any time in your childhood where you thought perhaps you would pursue golf professionally rather than tennis, or were you always going to be a tennis pro?
It's a good question. I mean, it's maybe a question for my dad because he was a he teaches tennis. He's a teaching pro and been a tennis fan even before I was born. So for him to have a son to play and try to play professional and then end up playing professionally was certainly special for both of us and him, I'm sure. And so it was, you know, he sort of pushed me towards tennis a little bit more than golf, even though he loves golf as well. And but he's got a special love for the game of tennis that it supersedes pretty much almost anything else. And so that was why tennis was sort of in my path.
Sure. Tennis won out when you were younger and throughout your adult life. But I understand you tried to qualify to play in the U.S. Open golf championship.
I have a few times, actually. So it's one of the more fun things to do for me is to play competitive rounds of golf, especially now that I'm retired. I've entered maybe four times. I've done the Monday, the local qualifying is called, and then to try to get into the sectional. I've never made the sectional qualifying, but I've finished as the first alternate. They take five guys in the spot that I usually do it in, and I've finished sixth twice out of the four times. So I was the first alternate, so I ended up going down a couple times to like Newport or something where the sectional qualifying was, but didn't get in.
Right, right. So what do you think you need to work on to improve to maybe get in? I know there's so much depth out there. There's so many great players. But
everything. Yep, everything. Yeah. There's so many good players. And you know, but the enticing part about that U.S. Open qualifying is that it's only 54 holes. It's only basically three rounds of the best rounds of your life. So a round that I played with Mr. Nicklaus, that would have been that certainly would have been one of them, and you need two more, and so it's just pretty enticing. Whereas in tennis, you know, if you need to beat, just for someone like me to get into the U.S. Open in tennis, I mean, I need to beat 15 players that are better than me just to get to the main draw. So it's like it's really really hard to go through local qualifying and pre-qualifying of things in tennis. So in golf, it's pretty amazing where if you have a specific handicap of, I think it's maybe two or less, then you can qualify for the U.S. Open. You can have that dream. And so it's pretty fun. It's certainly fun. It was a bummer they canceled it this year, but understood,
right,
of course.
Sure. But 54 holes, I mean, you just have to really show up every single day. Are you still amazed when you see these pro golfers who can put four rounds, consecutive rounds together and shoot in the 60s, right?
Yeah, I mean they're just so good. That's what they do, and that's it's like any other job, and it's their craft, and so they're the good ones are really. I've been fortunate enough to meet a lot of those guys and become friends with some of the top guys, and it's really fun to play with them and alongside them, sort of pick their brain from time to time.
Does your tennis background, I'm sure it's helped your golf, but is there anything about a tennis swing that you can't bring to the golf course? Like for me, for instance, I'm an amateur tennis player, and I I always lift up, you know, when I'm hitting a topspin forehand or back, I lift up a lot. And that took me so much time to get out of on the golf course, because you just have to plant your feet and stay down, right?
Sure.
Is there anything in tennis for you that you can't
me,
bring
for
to
me
the golf
it was
course?
The backhand. For me, it was the backhand. When I was younger, when I was 2 years old, kind of growing up, my backhand is my best shot in tennis, and I'm a lefty in golf. So a righty in tennis, so that's sort of translate into a pretty easy low backhand or a golf swing. Same with the baseball swing for me. I'm a lefty baseball swing. I swing lefty, so it's just kind of a natural backhand for me. So those sort of moves have been ingrained in my body, in my brain since I was 2 years old, and come fairly naturally, luckily.
I love it. And you played a lot of tennis growing up and roomed with Andy Roddick. And has he been able to make any breakthroughs on the golf course or no?
He's a great golfer. Yeah.
Andy's
he is.
Got
the bug for sure. The golf bug. He got the golf bug, I want to say maybe 8 to 10 years ago. And he's one of those guys that loves to play. You know, he'll open the top 100 golf courses and he'll want to go and play every one of those. That's kind of the opposite of me. I want to go to just the closest course. I don't really care as long as I'm with good friends and going to have fun. He's an Augusta National and, type Pine Valley and all those special places. And I've never played at any of those, nor have any interest really in flying over there to play.
Really?
If it was next door or something. Yeah.
No interest in playing Augusta National?
Not really. No, it's just,
really?
I mean, I would play if I lived in Augusta, but I live in Los Angeles. So,
I guess you're sick of traveling. You travel enough with your tennis career.
Yeah,
right?
I've traveled quite a bit, and it's just something that I don't know. I don't know why. It's just something that I belong to Bel Air Country Club out here in LA, and it's about 2 minutes
place.
Away. Yeah, yes, exactly. Little Pros still here and still around, and saw him the other day, and he's doing great. But it's about 2 minutes away from my house, so it's hard to go anywhere else.
And so do you take any pride? I'm assuming you beat Andy Roddick on the golf course. Is that
ironically, we haven't played. And again, like, I've got two young kids, and I just don't play as much golf as people think or uh-huh. maybe my game lets out to be. We haven't played recently in quite a while, to be honest. So, but yeah, I would, you know, if there's no strokes and, you know, no handicaps or anything, yeah, I would fancy myself. And you can tell him that.
I will, because, you know, he got the best of you, you know, once or twice.
Oh, many, many times on the tennis court. But that's over.
I know.
So we don't need to worry about
that. So now it's all about, you know, the golf course. And you mentioned Bel Air. I had the most incredible round at Bel Air. I was able to play with Mac Davis and James Garner.
Wow.
And I'll never forget this, because I don't know if James was not used to playing with a woman, but he wasn't playing particularly well when I was playing with them, and he threw his club on the second hole.
Oh, no.
He was so mad at himself. But anyway, it was just an incredible opportunity to play with those
two special guys there. And I never played with James Garner before, but I've played quite a bit with Mac. Know Mac very well.
Please tell him. So yeah, there's some really he's such
cool,
a good guy.
I will. There's some really cool names and people to know in this town at that club, and so it's been a blast to be a member there.
Let's talk a little bit about the U.S. Open Tennis Championships being staged with no spectators. What are your thoughts about that, Marty?
I think it's the right thing to do right now. I certainly feel like there's a way to accomplish the actual event, but certainly not in these times right now with fans, just because it would just be impossible to sort of even get a little bit of amount of people in there. So I think they're doing the right thing. I love that it's going on. You certainly wouldn't want, most other major sports, if not all major sports, going on, and tennis couldn't figure it out. I know it's an incredibly global game, so obviously people coming from tons of different countries and things makes it challenging. And then sort of trying to keep them in some sort of bubble as well is difficult. Most players have a team alongside them with a physio or a coach, and usually, you know, it's got a wife or a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a husband that's coming with you as well. So I think they're going to try and limit the amount of people on site as well. If I know anything about the USTA, I know they're going to go full bore with it and do everything they can to take care of the players, as they always do. And it's an amazing event. It'll be pretty surreal to sort of have the Cincinnati tournament that usually is the week before the U.S. Open in Mason, Ohio, at Flushing Meadows, and in New York the week before the actual U.S. Open goes on. So it's basically a 2 out of 3 set tournament, and then you reshuffle the draw, and a 3 out of 5 set tournament. So, it'll be interesting to see how it goes and who plays and who comes along. Some of the top players haven't been super into the idea, and I can understand why people coming from Europe can maybe think about not doing it, but the US Open and USTA specifically they're gonna really take care of the players and make sure that they're safe.
Yeah, Novak Djokovic just tested positive for the coronavirus, and a couple of the guys who played in his charity event tested positive. And then just read where Goran Ivanišević, his coach, tested positive. So how do you think these positive results are going to impact tennis, Marty?
As far as their testing went, I think it was fairly non-existent, which was the issue in Serbia and Croatia, where they went. They went to two different countries, and they didn't have any testing. They didn't have any social distancing whatsoever. They even went out to nightclubs and things during the events to promote the events. I know it was all going to charity, and it was supposed to be a philanthropic thing, but I think they forgot about the safety of everyone involved, which is a bummer. Because I do know Novak well, and he's got a good heart, and he wants to, he wanted to help, and they saw something, an idea, and sort of went for it. And obviously, with a couple of the players coming down with it, was certainly unfortunate. Look, he's the number one player in the world, and so that's huge news when someone his stature gets the virus, and you sort of wonder how he's going to handle with it. It's going to handle him, and how he's going to handle it, but he'll recover fine, I'm sure, and I hope he plays. I hope he plays in the Open, I hope everybody plays. Obviously, Roger has come out and said he's not going to play because he's had knee surgery, and he'll be starting in 2021. We don't know if 2021 is going to start. So it's just a really odd time in sports for sure, and specifically tennis.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if Novak Djokovic will come over here. I guess the players who come from Eastern Europe and all over the world have to quarantine over here, Marty, for what, 2 weeks before they can even do anything. So maybe that's that will prevent perhaps a lot of these international players from making the trip. What do you think?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, it's just going to be really difficult for players. I can totally understand coming from, basically anywhere else besides the U.S., where it sounds like, yeah, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks. So that makes the entire trip a 5-week trip instead of a 3.5-week trip or a 5.5-week trip or so. So, which is quite a big difference, when you're leaving your family and sometimes your kids and things. Obviously, travel is going to be pretty difficult to stay healthy, and so you may not want to bring your family, which is that's a thing as well. But it is a job, look, the U.S. Open. If I was still playing in the U.S. Open, was in any country, I would certainly be there.
Marty, you're the captain of the U.S. Davis Cup team, and we just heard that the Davis Cup, they're canceling all their matches for this year. How will that affect the team? And I'm sure it's disappointing for you because you love the Davis Cup.
Yeah, it's disappointing and a bummer for sure. It would have still been interesting to see what they were going to do and how they were going to do it. Davis Cup, it comes from the idea of having incredible fans rooting for your country and playing for your country and things. And when they have it would be the equivalent of having a Ryder Cup without fans. And doesn't that seem super strange basically the gist of Ryder Cup and Davis Cup is playing for your country, playing for your nation, playing for your teammates, and then playing for the fans, obviously. And without fans, it would just be a really strange, certainly normal events wouldn't be a big deal because there's been times over the course of everyone's career where they have, you're playing late at night or you're playing in hot weather or super cold or something and there's nobody there or not very many people there. So you can sort of get around that. But as far as Davis Cup and the Ryder Cup and the Fed Cup for the women and obviously the Solheim Cup, it'd be really strange to do it without fans.
Well, I'm wishing you all the best in the American Century Championship. You need a first place. You've been second three times. You're going to start being like Phil Mickelson, who's what, six-time runner-up at the U.S. Open. So we want a win for Marty Fish and for the tennis world. How about that?
That'd be awesome.
Thank you so much for coming on Talking Golf and continued success with everything you're doing, Marty.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Sports Interview with Allegory is brought to you by Peak Vision Sunglasses, PEAK Vision Sunglasses, zero distortion and patented dual zone lens technology. Learn more at Peak Vision, PEAK Vision.com. And Sports Interview with Anne LaGoria is brought to you by Dune Jewelry and my new Hamptons Rope Collection. Savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or spot in timeless pieces for men and women. Dune, D-U-N-E, jewelry.com.